The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
Over the years, we've been blessed at Zion Church with visiting preachers who are gifted and sound. We've been posting some of these older sermons lately, and today we're sharing a message preached back in 2014 by Elder Tim McCool, pastor of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Nicola, Alabama. In the first half of this sermon, we learn about some things that we need to seek with the eye of faith and set before us as we walk in discipleship in this world. Join us today for the first half of this powerful sermon about seeking, setting, and putting to death.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
Good to be with you here tonight. Always look forward for the opportunity to be here. Such a blessing and refreshing to come here. I don't mind telling you, I'm tired, and it's been a long weekend, and this is the second time that I've pinch hit today. So I don't mind the insult of being second best, but I'm happy to pinch hit any time that I can. I just hope maybe we can get a hit. I don't even know if I feel strong enough to swing for a home run. I'm just going to try to get a hit. I told him when I went and played football up at Birmingham for those 4 years, you know, I may be small and I may be slow, but I'm weak. So I've got a lot of things going for me. So you get, I am what you get. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But please pray for me.
Yes.
I don't intend to hold you long, but I do want to bring some things to your mind. We're going to look at Colossians, the third chapter. My mind has been stirred along this for several times now. And hopefully, I know there's some here that have heard a couple messages from Colossians 3. And I don't think they were the same messages, because I think we can go to the similar scripture each time and go a different direction.
Yes, that's right.
And tonight I want to go a little different direction that I have been going with Colossians 3. I want to read to you verses 1 through 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he goes on and he lists five things there in verse 5 that have to do with the sensual, physical nature. And he goes ahead there in verses 7 and 8 and 9, and he lists five vices, if you will, that have to do with our attitude and things that we say. So there's five things listed there in verse 5 that have to do with the sensual nature. And then in verse 7 and 8 and 9, there are things that have to do with what our attitude, our outlook, and how we say things. Now, the reason I want to point that out to you is I hope to say a few things about those specific things. No way to cover them all in real detail, but I do want to mention a few things about them. But I want you to notice that these things are prohibitive of you experiencing, seeking those things which are above, setting your affection on those things that are above, and mortifying. If they control you, you cannot mortify or put to death the things that you need to be done with and continue. Notice the putting to death here is not a one-time act.
Right.
It is an ongoing killing of these things. It would be nice if we could kill them one time and be done with them. But that's not the way the human nature works.
Right.
And if you'll ask somebody who is on up in years, I've heard it said several times by some of our older church members that these things don't stop afflicting you after you reach a certain age.
Amen.
Now, there are times, a person may be so old they can't remember these things. That might be a blessing. You say, well, I don't want to get old and forget. If I could forget these things, that would be a blessing.
That's right.
If I could lose my mind towards these things right now, I would like to lose my mind towards these things.
Yes.
But these are things that continue to afflict us from early age on up into our old age. Now, I want you to notice that the three things that are brought to our attention here in these first five verses is to seek, to set, and to put to death. To seek, to set, and to put to death. I want you to notice that the seeking here, if you be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above. The seeking has to do with where you look.
Right.
It has to do with where you look, not just a physical look, but with the eye of faith. Now, it also involves a physical look, though, because you look at the Word of God. You look at the preacher when he's preaching. You look at the things that are spiritual with the eye of faith.
Yeah.
So it's not just like some untouchable thing that you just have to imagine is out there of trying to look at. No, you see these things, the resurrection of Jesus. You're risen with Christ, the burial in the grave. You're risen out of the grave. He was crucified. He came to the earth. You see these things through the pictures that are given you in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then when you see those things, it has to do with where you look. And setting your affection has to do with how you feel. If you think about your affection, it's your emotions.
Right.
Set your emotions, set your affection on things above, just like he says to look upon things above, seek those things that are above, and then based on what you look at and how you set your emotions, then you are to do some things. So where you look, how you feel, and then what you do is all combined in this singular thought that he gives us here in these first five verses.
Right.
So there's a goal here. You understand? It's not just to show up and be a warm body and be a number on a roll.
Amen. There's a goal here, an ongoing process that takes place in the child of God of seeking and setting the affection and putting to death those things that prevent you from seeking and from setting your affection, you see? So consider this. I've been preaching primarily the last couple times I've preached about how there are things that will prevent you from seeking those things which are above. You know, there were two men that came to Jesus. One of those was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. In John, the first chapter, they were following behind Jesus, and Jesus turns to them. They didn't really understand who he was. Of course, they didn't understand who he was really for 3.5 years until his resurrection fully. They didn't understand that.
Right.
They believed it, but they didn't quite fully understand it. In their first encounter there with Jesus, after John had said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they thought, "Well, huh, this is who he's been telling us about. We're going to kind of ease over here and follow this guy." So they're following Jesus, and Jesus looks at them and he says, What are you seeking? What do you seek?
Yeah.
And they said, "Master, we just want to know where you dwell. Where are you going? Where do you dwell?" And he says, "Come and see." That's one of the greatest invitations that we can give to people who have never seen a worship service like we do it or never experienced anything like this. There's all kinds of people that have all kinds of opinion about what we do and when we gather together and worship that have never even been here, you know? So you say, "Well, how do we get after those people?" Just tell them to come and see.
Amen.
Don't say, "Well, you don't do it like we do it."
That's
don't
right.
say, "Well, you don't have what we have," or "We don't have what you have."
Right.
Just say, "Come and see."
Amen.
Jesus said, "Come and see." You say, "Well, I've got an opinion about how y'all do things down there, but they've never seen it." Come and see.
Amen.
Some people are just scared to come and see because a lot of times the things that we fear, we fear the things that we don't understand. But without exception, I think I can say in the years of the ministry, when I've seen people come and see where we dwell and what we do, at the minimum, there is a rejoicing or just a complacency of, "Okay, well, that's not exactly what I thought it was," you know.
Right.
So and at the best, you'll see people come back for more, you see. That's what they did with Jesus.
Yeah.
He says, "Come and see." And so they went and they dwelt with him. And then Andrew goes back, and what does he do? He tells his brother Simon. He says, "We found him. He's the one that has been written about, the one John the Baptist has been talking about." And of course, it spreads out from there. You know, Nathaniel and some of the others began to gather together to come and see, to seek Jesus. You know, Jesus said over in the Matthew, the 7th chapter, he says, "Seek and you shall find." But there are things that will prevent us from seeking God in the way that he intends to be sought after. And these 10 things that are listed here in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, are large obstacles in our path. We cannot seek God if we are not putting to death these things that are listed here. We may feel like that, I feel like that I'm seeking God, but we can be hindered and we can have obstacles in our way. These are 10 things that can absolutely prevent us from seeking God in the way that he would have us to seek him. Now, let me also just make this disclaimer. We're not talking about seeking God to become a child of God.
No.
We're talking about a child of God born of the Spirit seeking God for fellowship with God.
Amen.
That's what most of the Scripture is about, by the way.
Right.
About 5% of the Scripture tells you about how you become a child of God.
Right.
And the other 95%, at least of instruction-wise, talks about how we have fellowship with God because we are sons of God.
Yes.
That's why he says in John, the first chapter, which we all so often like to quote there, he talks about the new birth. He says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, that's not God saying, that's not the Scripture saying here, that this is how you enable yourself to become a child of God. He says, if you have received him, then you have been given the power to exist as a son of God.
Yeah.
You've been vitally made alive by the Spirit of God.
Right.
You say, but how can you prove that? Because he says you were born.
Amen.
Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Right.
So it's not an offer there. You know, he's just talking about the fact that you have the Spirit of God within
Amen.
You. So a born-again child of God can seek after God. But there's things that will prevent him or her from doing that. You know, obviously an infant can't seek after God. John the Baptist was not seeking after God when he leapt for joy in his mother's womb in the sense of Colossians 3:1 talks about seeking after God.
Sure.
He was made to rejoice. He was made willing in the day of God's power, you see. There was a reaction there that God brought on in that infant who was still inside the mother's womb. But he could not set his affection on things above or mortify the members that he had because he couldn't even move his little members. He was constricted in the womb of his mother, you see. So you understand that this is teaching the born-again child of God
yeah.
that there is a way to seek God. Mm-hmm. There's a way to not seek God. I've talked about that several times. You can read about ways not to seek God in Isaiah 58, where he says they proclaimed fast and they did this and they did that. And the Lord said, I don't hear it. And then in the book of Hosea, over and over, in one particular point, he says that they will come to me and I have withdrawn myself from them. They will seek me, but I will not hear them. Proverbs 1 and 28 says that also, that if you don't listen to counsel, if you don't listen to the Word of God, when God sticks out His hand, as the metaphor is there in Proverbs 1, to shake hands with you, to offer help to you and guide you in your life, and you refuse that handshake or you leave the Lord hanging, you don't take His hand, He says, I'll laugh at your calamity and you'll seek me in your calamity and you won't find me.
That's right.
The Lord will just be chuckling up there thinking, my goodness, you know, I gave Him that opportunity to do right, to follow good advice. You know, I told him the bridge was out, and he just kept on going. Kaboom, he hit the water.
Right.
He didn't believe what the Lord said. You see, and the Lord says, if then when you're in the bottom of that, when you're in the bottom of the river going down, glub, 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 he said, you got to go find me.
Right.
It's too late. You're in the bottom of the river, you see. You didn't listen to the signs that said bridge out. See, there's conditions on seeking God.
Amen.
In the sense of a child of God born again of the Spirit seeking God. You don't want to seek God as a child of God, born again in the Spirit, when it's too late.
Amen.
Like Samson sought Him when it was too late.
Yeah.
You don't want to seek God like Lot, who couldn't even turn around and couldn't even put one foot in front of another. He was so cauterized and calloused and timid from the signs and the sins and the different things that were around him. He couldn't even move. That man couldn't even pick up one foot after the other to walk out of that wicked city. Oh, I tell you what, if I'd have been in there for just a few days and seen what was going on, I'd have been sprinting out of there. But who knows? It could happen to anyone,
that's
you
right.
See?
Yeah.
If you let yourself go and you don't seek the things that are above, you don't set your affection on things that are above, and you don't put to death these things, that's what happened to Lot.
Right. That's
you
right.
See? He stopped seeking the things with Abraham, the friend of God, his uncle. He stopped setting his affection on the worship of God. And he said, I'm going to go off over here. And he stopped putting to death those things. That even he embellished those things. You say, but I didn't think he supported them. He didn't support them, but he didn't support them in the sense that he was doing them. But he did not remove himself from those
Amen.
Things to where he cauterized himself from them. And let me just say this to you.
Right.
When you hear people in the United States of America today say, you know, things like this. They'll say things like, you know, well, we don't want to step on anybody's rights. So, you know, if this person over here wants to have a same-sex marriage, well, then, you know, we'll just have to let them go along with that. First of all, it's not a fundamental right.
Amen.
It's not. And they say, well, it comes from the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. No, not the Bill of Rights, but the Declaration of Independence. No, it doesn't. Because the God, Jehovah God that they refer to, that is the grantor of rights, as they speak of in there, does not grant that right.
Amen.
You see? It's a
right.
sin. And so when somebody says, well, you know, we just don't need to get into that. Or they're condoning that.
That's
they're
right.
doing what Lot did in Sodom,
right.
you see.
Right.
So they are that. You understand
Amen.
That? When you condone that or when you don't resist that,
That's
you
right.
become that.
Amen.
You see, that's what happened to Lot. He vexed his righteous soul from day to day because he stopped seeking the things that were above. He stopped setting his affection on things that were above. And he stopped putting to death the things that he knew were wrong. And the next thing he knows, 20 years, by the way, it was just 20 years from the time that Lot went in there and the time that city fell. 20 years is all it took. Look how far we've gone in 20 years. People say, well, it's just on TV. You know, all of this, the homosexual stuff and the fornication, not just that stuff. But now think about it. What I'm fixing to talk to you about in verse 5 is what you see on TV. You could see on TV every night. I know y'all are not, but you could see it on TV every night. He said, well, I'm just watching it on TV. I've just got it on the tube. And that is condoning it if you're
Amen.
Watching it. You see?
Right.
You're condoning it if you're watching it. You are a part of it. You are a partaker of other men's sins
right.
whenever you just watch them do it. See? That's what Lot was. He was a partaker of other men's sins as he just saw the violence and the pedophilia and all the filthy stuff that was going on. The fornication and the adultery and the robbery and the violence. He was a part of it. Because he sat there and watched it, you see? No different than today. That's why David said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When will the Lord come unto me? In my house, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way.
Amen.
When will the Lord come unto me? Oh, we would all shudder sometimes, wouldn't we, if the Lord came knocking on our door.
Yeah.
Let me turn that TV off, or let me turn that radio off, or let me stop blessing my wife or my husband out, you know? let me get my church face on, you know? Oh, my goodness. Some of you sisters think you got to get your church face on with the makeup. You need to come see me sometime. Yeah. And that makeup couldn't fix me up sometime. Amen, I need to keep my church face on all the time.
That's
see?
Right. Amen.
To seek means to look above. To seek those things that be... if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and to set your emotions, your affection on things above. That's a difficult one right there, isn't it? Especially in our feelings-based society where I just don't feel like it's right. If we don't, you know, we don't need to get on these people's civil rights over here, or I don't feel like, you know, you've treated me right. I mean, we are a feelings-based society.
Yeah.
This country would not be here if it had been a feelings-based society that founded it. It was a right and wrong-based society.
Amen.
Based on the Word of God, Jehovah God, that this country was founded upon. Set your emotions on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, that's not the same as saying you hath he quickened who were dead.
Right.
When he says you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, he's talking about the dead child of God, who's the dead person in sins before they've been quickened as a child of God. Here he's talking about one who has been quickened by the Spirit of God, and their life is hid with Christ, and their sins have been put to death by Christ.
Yes.
You are dead. You are dead to the world. You know, I love the old song we used to sing where it talked about things that you used to love, that now you hate, and things that you used to hate, now you love. That is a child of God who has been been quickened and made alive, and they understand that they no longer desire certain things anymore. You're dead to those things. Dead to the world. He says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now you think about that for just a minute. Where is Christ? He says he sitteth on the right hand of God. Okay? So where should our affection be? It should be with Christ, on Christ, on things above, not on things on the earth. For we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, and our lives are hid with Christ. It almost sounds like a secret or something. It almost sounds like that he's got a special little package there. Hey, look here, I've got something hidden here. You know how the old guy walking on the street, you know, he'll try to sell a watch or something, open up his coat. Look here, all this I got for sale. We are hid in Christ. We're with him in heaven. Our lives are hid with him in God. So in a sense, you're there right now. In his mind, you're there. Your spirit's not there yet because it's here in your body. And your body's not there yet because the resurrection hadn't occurred.
Right.
But you are hid with Christ in God. He's got you there in his mind. He's got you engraven in the palms of his hands. And that's not a tattoo, by the way.
Amen.
He's got you engraven in the palms of his hands. You were written in blood in the palm of his
Amen.
Hands. And you're right. There with him now.
Yeah.
And we're to set our emotions on that.
Yeah.
You think about that. That'll have a big impact on what you do. I'm in heaven right now.
Amen.
You say, how am I there? In Christ.
Yes.
We're dead to this world, but I'm in heaven now. It makes me want to be careful about what I'm thinking about and what I'm doing and what I'm feeling.
That's right.
See?
That's right.
Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. When Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life. That rhymes and it's easy to remember. Christ is our life. He shall appear, then shall ye shall also appear with him in glory. He's looking to the time of the end when the Lord comes back. Who wants to be ashamed when the Lord comes back? Oh, don't we want to go up shouting?
Yes.
We don't want to have to turn something off or turn something down or rearrange our face, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to go and put makeup on even, sisters, right? You won't have to worry about makeup on that great homecoming day. You know, we don't want to have to be ashamed. Oh, I hope the Lord doesn't see what I'm doing. And kaboom, there he is. He says when he appears, he's our life, and we will appear with him in glory. That can happen anytime.
Yeah.
Despite what all of the naysayers say, and despite what all of the fearmongers say, trying to scare people about the second coming of Christ, it's the next greatest event that will happen. I tell you, wouldn't it be glorious to be having preaching going on, or having singing going on, or be sitting at your house in a time of devotion, or contemplating the things of God and the Word of God, and here he comes, he appears, and his life, your life is hid in him, and your body's made perfect all of a sudden. Oh, these old bodies are wearing out, aren't they? You say, you don't know what you're talking about, whippersnapper. I know I don't, you know. Turn 43 tomorrow. I ain't got a clue about those of you who are on up in age. I know it's coming. I know how it's going to feel worse. Some of you have physical problems, and I don't have a clue. You know, I know what I know, and that's it. You know, and I know it's not getting any better. I know that.
Amen.
But isn't it amazing to think that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that every problem you've got, every pain you feel, every tear that you ever could possibly shed or have shed, it'll be gone. It's over.
Amen.
That's what's hid with Christ and God right now.
Amen.
It's hard to get down thinking about things like that.
Amen.
Set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and your life is hid in Christ.
Mm.
It also says this, if you turn back over very quickly in Colossians 1, in verse 25, he says this. Paul says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." You say, well, we just got to look up there, right? We just got to point away up there. Yeah, we need to seek up there, and we need to set our affection up there. But notice this. He says, Paul says, "I'm a minister to bring this news to you, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." What is this mystery? "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery." What's the mystery? I love a good mystery. That's my favorite kind of book to read.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.